always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Does your house belong to you? Or if you are not using it, can someone just come in, squat for a period of time, and then claim that they have a right to be there? This so-called squatter scam is something that's happening around the country. There's even videos telling people how to go in and take over an empty house. That was never how the law was supposed to work. And in Florida, we are going to take action today to end this scam and to protect the private property rights of our homeowners. You should not have anyone go on your property and take it over and then try to assert some rights. It's absurd. We're going to put an end to it today, and we'll be leading the way yet again in the process.
And there he is, America's Governor Ron DeSantis. Probably not the last time we'll see him on the national stage either. Welcome back to the second hour of the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. Yep, it's already 5:08 in the p.m., but we got a jam-packed hour for you. Go nowhere. In our first segment here, we'll be doing the speaker stump speech about the insanity in Big Blue America and how voters are definitely voting with their feet, leaving left-wing lunacy behind. I got some new stats and statistics to prove that point. We'll talk about in just a momento. At 5:25, Chris, we're going to speak to the aforementioned folks from the Francis Howell School District. We're going to talk to a couple of key school board candidates, Adriana Kuhn and Sam Young. We just met them out in our overly ostentatious lobby green room area here, and they seem like fine folks. I got Ken Gontarts with them as well, which is one of the Ken's with one of the groups that's been supporting new school board candidates out in the St. Charles County region. So hello to everybody who's listening to us, most likely on 94.1 or on our app, which you can download anywhere you can find apps. Yep. So download News Talk STL, iPhone, Android store. Listen to us, carry us with you wherever you might go. And then Chris, at 5:45, we'll wrap things up, prepare folks for the Larry Connors USA Daily Show, which runs at 6:05 every Monday through Friday right here. Chris, this is your Friday today.
This is my Friday. Heading out of town tomorrow for South Carolina. Spend time with my father-in-law and my sister-in-law, brother-in-law, and their kids. So this is my Friday with that four-day weekend. We'll be back on Monday.
Nice. Very good. And I'm jealous of you because the Palmetto State of South Carolina is one of my favorite in the country. And it's a beautiful place. I wish you all the best. Happy Easter to you, my friend, and your family. Yep. And I'll see you. Will you be back here on Easter Monday?
We'll be back Monday, yeah.
Okay. I'll be in studio Monday, and then I'm going to head to Jeff City on Tuesday. Chris, it's fun going to Jeff City, but I'm kind of getting tired of driving up there every week at this point. We're 7 weeks left in session next week. I'm counting it down. And as much fun as it is to go up, and, you know, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to work in the halls of our General Assembly, whether you're in the elected side or in the private sector like I am now. But I'm ready for summertime as well. And then the conference season starts. You and I will be running around the country going to various conferences and learning more that we can bring back and divulge to our listeners.
Yeah, and it's politics, a life that I love, not because of the excitement of it. Some people think it's nerdy, but just because you're in a position to change public policy, make a difference, you know, say that you've contributed to making a better nation and better society, it gives you a sense of accomplishment, a sense of pride in doing that. And I wish, frankly, that more Americans would get involved in the political process, and maybe our government, our society wouldn't be in the horrible shape that it's in.
Could not agree more. And it's nice to see. It feels like, it looks like, it appears that more folks are getting involved now, but we still need a lot more people to get engaged, to your point. I think we're seeing more participation, but we could use a lot more. When you look at the voting statistics every election cycle, we're still way below where we should be on voter participation. And we complain about a lot of things in this country. If more people voted, I think we'd have less to complain about. I really do.
And I'll tell you one thing that makes me feel good about the future, especially since the pandemic. dynamic is this time every year, the April school board elections. And as you said, we've got school board candidates from Francis Howell in at 525. And those are folks in the grassroots that said, hey, I want to make a difference in my community. And these are the schools that my kids attend. I want to make sure they're getting a quality education. I don't like the direction things are going. I'm going to get involved. So we're about to see that in the next 15 minutes.
We sure are. These folks are, this is the most retail of politics. These local elections, they're some of the most important. They don't get all the glitz and glamour. You're not going to find these folks on the nighttime cable news networks for the most part. Every once in a while, something big pops, and it's one of the shows will cover them. But generally, these are folks toiling away, and they're doing it because they want to help.
Not raising a whole lot of money.
Nope. They want to protect our kids. And Chris, yep, they're doing it one door at a time. I asked Sam, I said, are you hitting a lot of doors? He said, heck yeah. I mean, shoe leather wins a lot of these races. These are very important races. Folks, everyone can participate in politics and public policy by voting, right? That's where you should start. And everyone should be voting. We hope that we inspire and encourage you to vote. There is an election next Tuesday. It's a local election. It's all across the state of Missouri. It's for these school board races. It's for city elections. There's always a lot of tax proposals and tax increases.
That's where
bond
I live.
Bond issues. Yeah. So folks, please go vote next Tuesday. And we're going to speak to a couple of people who are on the ballot next Tuesday. Really respect them stepping forward and putting their names on the dotted line. We'll talk to Adriana Kuhn and Sam Young at 5:25. I was going to ask Joey something real fast, and I forgot. I've been watching real quick. I've been watching the new Shogun series. I've been meaning to mention this based on the famous James Clavell novel. And Chris,
it's on Hulu, I believe.
You were right. 1980s. Richard Chamberlain was the star in that. Have you watched that at all? I'm on like the fourth episode. It's pretty darn good.
I have not watched it. My girl, she's watching Tokyo Vice, and I'm racist. I have to figure out which one's which. I know they're Asian based, but I think yours is a different one.
Shogun is based in Japan in the 1600s. Can you imagine 1600 Japan? It's pretty wild. And for a Hulu TV miniseries, the cinematography and like the costuming and the sets are pretty impressive. I have to give them a lot of credit. I was worried it was going to be a little campy and kind of boring and dry because, I mean, how do you redo something that was so great back in the 80s? But they've done a really good job. So anyway, that's on right now, so I'll be watching
it. Studios, Netflix, and Apple and all that, they're not sparing any dime when it comes to making top quality movies. Content may be what we don't like in all cases.
Yeah.
But in terms of cinematography or just quality movies, we're making quality stuff.
It's pretty darn impressive. What is also impressive, I was just seeing this over your head, Chris, on the monitor. Man, that bridge collapse in Maryland. Unbelievable. And if you look at the size of that cargo ship, it looks like Legos. Those are, as Joey pointed out yesterday, each one of those things that looks like a Lego on that thing is a full-size trailer from like a tractor trailer. It looks like it's about 15 stories tall. It just slammed in that bridge, took the whole thing down immediately, and feel sorry for anybody involved in and around that. Condolences and prayers out to families who were affected by this. And it's going to be a long investigation, and the disaster caused just by the, I mean, these are first world problems, but the traffic and the commerce interruptions alone are going to be pretty dramatic on the East Coast. Yeah. It's going to affect us probably a year.
Things that I learned a lot, it's a big hub for cars, a big hub for coal, that Baltimore is. So it's just amazing just seeing that ship, as you said, as large as it is, hit that bridge. And fortunately, the only people that were killed were people that were construction workers working on the bridge at the time. Once they learned that the ship was out of control, was losing power, they cut off traffic to the bridge, so there wasn't any traffic on it. Apparently, these people were working on it. Two people were rescued, but six people, I think at this time, are presumed dead.
All hail first responders. Many of them we know are fans of this station and of our program. Thank you, because your colleagues saved countless lives the other day. Because my understanding is, Chris, yes, that when they found out that ship was adrift and had lost power, the police and the other first responders in the region rushed to the bridge, blocked traffic, and prevented people from going across it before the ship struck. So unfortunately, some construction workers could not get out of harm's way. But thankfully, because of first responders, I mean, who knows how many lives were saved. Yeah. So remember to always thank and treat your first responders with the utmost respect and dignity.
One of those first responders, I want to throw a shout out to him, Paul Sulawski, that listens to the show.
Yeah.
Also listens to the morning show. I think he works in the Richmond Heights Fire Department. If you're listening or streaming, watching the stream, correct me, Paul, but I think it's the Richmond Heights Fire Department. Thank you for your service.
Mm-hmm. Thank you as well. We've also got, since Chris mentioned the feed here, we've got Scotty on board. Scotty is a veteran of the U.S. Armed Forces. Thank you, Scotty, for your service. We got Amy on there. We have Charles and others. Thank you, everybody, for listening to us, following us on our multiple streams. Please jump on our Facebook, Twitter, X pages. Give us a like. Give us a follow. And, you know, don't keep it an insider secret. We want you to share us with everyone that you can. We continue to grow News Talk STL Nation. When we started this station barely 3 years ago, we'll celebrate our 3-year anniversary this fall. We had just, I'll use Facebook as an example because I'm looking at it right now. We had 0 likes. We had 0 followers. Mm. Chris, barely 3 years later, we have over 3,600 likes and over 4,700 followers on our Facebook page alone.
That's why we're number one for live and local conservative talk. And I've got to correct myself. Paul Sulawski works for the Maplewood Fire Department, not the Richmond Heights Fire Department. So, Paul Sulawski, thank you for your service, my friend. Hazelwood Central, North Cove grad.
Could not agree more. Thank you, Paul, and thank you all of y'all. All right. Without further ado, I'm going to give you some updated stats and statistics about the great blue state exodus. Voters continue to walk and vote with their feet out of insane bastions of left-wing lunacy, and I'm going to prove it to you right now in today's Speaker Stump Speech.
Listen to me. Listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the Speaker Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
One of the beauties of our system of government that is so brilliant that the framers set up was that you have 50 choices, right? You have 50 choices in the United States of America of where to live, and you don't need a passport, you don't need a visa. All you need is a little bit of mobility and choice in your life. And nowadays, where so many people are able to work virtually or telecommute or whatever, people have the ability to have more choices than ever. And not just the wealthy, right? There's a lot of folks who are in the trades. There's a lot of folks in sales. There's people who work in telecom, energy industries, public policy research. I mean, Chris and I are able to do the radio show pretty much anywhere in the world that we have an internet signal. Most of my work on the political public policy side is in the consulting realm, and so all I need is a telephone, right, and notepad. So people are able to move around the country now, and with 50 choices, people are making their choices known more now than ever before. Hat tip to the headline in the Unleash Prosperity Hotline, and folks, you can get this great information as well. They don't advertise here, they're just great friends of the show. The Committee to Unleash Prosperity, committeetounleashprosperity.com. It's some household names that you know, the great Stephen Moore, who frequently appears on the Mike Ferguson in the Morning Show, Dr. Art Laffer of the famous Laffer Curve, Phil Kirpin of American Commitment that Chris and I have had the pleasure of interviewing many times. They put this together on their staffs. Topic of one of the stories was, as I'm just mentioning, voters want a divorce from blue state and city policies. Yeah, last week, the Committee to Unleash Prosperity reported on domestic migration data by county. Our friends at Issues and Insights have performed a great public service by breaking down the very same data by how counties voted in 2020. Guess what we found? Well, we found that since Joe Biden took office barely, 3.5 years ago, nearly 4 million people. Yeah, even in by D.C. terms, 4 million still is more than a rounding error in budgets. But nearly 4 million people, nearly 4 million souls have fled from blue counties to red counties. That's the equivalent of nearly the entire population of 7 congressional districts. Well, it's no wonder that Democrats continue to lose voter support and congressional districts themselves in places like New York and California and the upper Midwest, Illinois. It's not just people leaving cities and counties that locked down their schools and businesses during COVID. That's definitely part of it. It also says that a million people, it also proves the data that a million people have made their move in just the last year, right? Most of us are past the COVID craziness, long past it. So in just the last year, people have continued to move. That means that beyond COVID, people are tired of what? High taxation, high regulation, a lack of school choice options. The 10 counties that saw the biggest negative net migration all voted for Biden in 2020. 8 of the 10 counties with the biggest influx were areas carried by Trump. The question is, the perennial question that Chris and I often posit is, will these blue county refugees become evangelists for the very blue county policies they left behind, or are they red voters trapped in those blue counties and cities who are now seeking better lands? Well, you know, if you look at Florida, many believe that the latter is true. Florida has had a massive influx of people to the point where people were worried about that same consideration. Are all these people who are flooding down to Florida from New York and Illinois and Delaware and Maryland and Vermont and New Jersey, are they going to bring their really bad blue state ideas with them? The opposite has happened. Florida has gone from a purplish swing state over the last decade or so to a pretty reliable red state. You don't hear Democrats talking about Florida being in play much, and they're pretty much red from top to bottom. They've had a string of very red Republican governors now going back over two decades, from Jeb Bush to Rick Scott to now Ron DeSantis, all of them easily winning re-election. It looks like Florida will continue to be a supermajority Republican state as far as its General Assembly. And so we hope that that holds true for the rest of the counties and the cities. Yep, it's very true, folks. People vote with their pocketbooks, with their minds, with their hearts and their souls, and it's the great divorce. 3.7 million Americans have fled counties that voted for Biden, and they've headed to various Trump lands, trying to make as much of America great again as they can. I just feel sorry for all the folks that they've left behind. That's the Speaker's Stump Speech for today.
California, New York, both of those states have lost congressional seats.
Mm-hmm.
People are leaving because of the high taxes, and also, too, because of crime. Crime is out of control. People are going out, moving out to the country, buying bunkers like the Zuckerberg, and hiding underground. That's one of their concerns, crime.
Tons of reasons, and they're all related to Joe Biden's failed policies.
Exactly.
Pretty much every single one. All right, Chris, folks, we've been waiting to talk to these folks all afternoon. We're excited to have in studio the good folks from the Francis Howell School District. We got a couple board candidates, Adriana Kuhn and Sam Young. We'll give you their websites, their platforms, their policy positions, and what they hope to do when they're elected. You're going to help them get elected if you're in that area. We know you are. Next Tuesday, very important election day. We'll talk to those folks next on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 101.9 94.1. This is News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
So what I want Americans to see is how successful the president's agenda, which is not just a short-term agenda, but a medium and longer-term agenda that is designed to create good jobs in parts of the country that in many ways have been left behind, and making us more secure and bringing down costs for Americans.
Mm. Chris, do you think some of those policies would include reasons why the labor participation rate is still way below where it was pre-COVID, and why kids continue to fail in our public schools all across the country? Is that the one she's talking about? Probably not.
She's living in an alternative reality, because what the American people are saying and what the polls are saying is not what she's reflecting in that statement at all.
Mm, that is for sure. I like how Joey during the break called her Granny Yellen.
Granny Yellen.
She is Granny Yellen. Yeah, she just, I don't know. You know, she and Joe Biden need to go hit the golf course and stop trying to make public policy. Some folks we'd love to make public policy have joined us now in studio. Chris, we've been talking about them all show. We're really excited to have Francis Howell school board candidates, Adriana Kuhn and Sam Young in studio with us. And Ken Gontarts, who's been working on this project for many years, is here as well. You can check out their website, Francis Howell Families. Adriana.org. Adriana, Sam, welcome to the studio. Thanks for being here.
Welcome. Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, so why don't you each introduce yourselves to our audience and explain why, after you obviously both fell and hit your heads, you decided to run for school board. In all seriousness, thank you so much for doing this. This is such an incredibly important public service that most people overlook and take for granted. But the school boards are where the battles for the future hearts, minds, and souls of our kids begin, doesn't it?
I agree. Yes, I have two kids in Francis Howell, and I've lived in this district now for over 10 years. Mm. My youngest is in ninth grade, and my oldest is in ninth grade, and my youngest is in fifth. So I've seen since kindergarten to ninth grade, all those grade levels. And at first, I never had any problems with our school. I really felt like our schools were the best schools in all of St. Charles County, and I had no reason to go to a board meeting until 2020. And then I went to the board meeting to try to keep our schools open when they were going to be closed for in-person learning, because I just knew that was what was best for our children. And when I went to that meeting, I had members of our local NEA yelling at me that I was going to kill them and they were going to die for babysitting our kids. And I just actually couldn't believe it, because I had a lot of teacher friends at the time and talked to teachers all summer. So that started me on this journey. I kept going to keep our schools open, not just for in St. Charles County, but also St. Louis County. I wanted Francis Howell to set an example, because I do think we are one of the best districts, and we could show everyone else, hey, it's okay. We can keep our kids in school. And that started me on this journey. It wasn't a good time then for me to run. Now, 4 years later, I'm ready to take this on.
Fantastic. Sam?
Yeah, so I grew up on the other side of the state, outside of Kansas City, went to Mizzou on a Navy ROTC scholarship, got my engineering degree, and then went off to do 20 years in the United States Navy.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. It was good for me. I spent most of that time on submarines, but I also did a lot of staff planning, a lot of strategic planning. My last deployment was a carrier strike group out of Virginia, and we wanted to move back here. My oldest would have been starting ninth grade when I was getting out, so we were like, we wanted her to have a stable 4 years all in one high school. And I've got four kids. Now my oldest has already graduated from Francis Howell and is off at college. And I've been helping out with the last two school board elections in Francis Howell. And I wasn't able to do it previously because my oldest was in our high school robotics team. And that season runs the same time as campaign season for these school boards. She's graduated, and the next one told me he wasn't going to do robotics, so I was like, I volunteered to run, and I had a little inkling of what it was about because I'd helped with the last two campaigns, but it's been quite the trip here doing this.
Sam, was there a moment during the pandemic or something that your kids brought home from school that was the moment for you that said, I need to run for school board and get involved? What was the moment for you?
Well, my kids were, we really focus on education in our household. Mm-hmm. And, moving here from, my daughter starting, she was a little nervous about starting, high school, not coming from the area. And, I tell you what, she killed it. She finished very high in her class. And I was just like, I don't know if the focus is all here in this mm-hmm. school district. My daughter's a smart girl. Where was the competition? What didn't we have stronger mm-hmm. academics already resident here? I started to go into school boards in June of 21. Mm-hmm. And just seeing the kind of dysfunction of our school board and, the lack of discussion that was going on. They couldn't really back up everything mm-hmm. they were doing. So, that's what motivated me.
Adriana, have you learned throughout this process that, and not talking about the individual teachers here, because Chris and I both know a lot of teachers that are right-thinking people, and they may have to do it quietly or behind the scenes, but they listen to our station, they listen to our shows, they love what we stand for. But have you found that the teachers' unions are dead set on controlling school boards all across the state of Missouri, probably all across the country, and that their agenda is not one that really benefits the kids, but benefits a left-wing ideology? Is that true, or am I going too far?
very true. Because here's the thing. For the past two elections, we kept getting conservatives in. And this year, they are coming against us hard. Mm. Our opponents are endorsed by the NEA, which the NEA openly states all these resolutions that they want boys and girls restrooms. They want gender-affirming care available in our schools. They want all of these left leaning ideologies pushed in our schools. They also want, this is something that happened in 2021, removal of advanced classes for the sake of equity. Mm. That hurts everyone. And now our opponents are endorsed by not only the NEA, but also PACs that are, built from Democrats like Ted House and former superintendents. And one thing, I think it's hard for the general public because I didn't quite know this either. The way school boards are structured is that you have a superintendent who oversees the district and regulates the administration. And then the school board is elected by the citizens so that we who fund the public education in our country have a say in what's being taught in our schools.
Right.
So we are elected by the citizens to oversee the district to make sure that our funds are being used wisely. And when a superintendents are coming out and endorsing multiple superintendents coming out endorsing these other people, it's these single entities that already have so much control of the over the school, and now they want to control the school board that should be governed by the citizens.
Attorney General Andrew Bailey is questioning DEI that was taught in the Hazel School District, where, of course, that horrible beating happened between those two students. I haven't followed it all of that closely, but I know out in the Francis House School District, there were questions about Black Studies curriculum. I saw this week that the school board has reversed their previous ruling on that. For those that aren't following this very closely, what is going on out there?
Yeah, so back during COVID, the school board that was in place, you know, they put in an anti-racism resolution, and then they started making decisions based on equity, which to them really meant racial quotas. You know, they looked at the demographic quotas of the classes, and they were making decisions based on that. And as part of that whole time frame, they put in these Black History, Black Literature courses. Now, these courses could have been great, but they used Southern Poverty Law Center social justice standards, you know, as the basis for them. And they hired a professor of education from Mizzou who taught critical race theory. And that's how they built these courses. And so the school board in December, our current school board, which has five conservative majority, rescinded the Southern Poverty Law Center social justice standards, got those out of them. We can't use them for any classes now. And they told the administration, you either rewrite these or they're not in the next, course catalog. And so, the administration chose to rewrite them, and these courses are much better now. They're more academically focused and, you know, they're not politically active. You know, we had people, protesting saying you can't teach Black history without political activism. Basically, you can't have politically neutral Black history. And I think that's wrong. You know, like we can obviously share that. There's so much of that. It's a rich history and we should be sharing it, but we don't need Southern Poverty Law Center social justice standards behind it. You know, so.
Speaking to Sam Young and Adriana Kuhn, KUHN, they got two great websites, voteadrianakuhn.com, votesamyoung.com. Sam, you know, wouldn't it be great if our K-12 institutions taught the things that helped you become a successful human being, serve our military at the highest levels, work on all kinds of complicated ships and machinery and technology? We need to be teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, science, technology, engineering, and math to prepare our kids for a very complicated world, and not all this social engineering and social justice theory, right?
Yeah, let's focus on that. Hey, how about also we promote hard work and meritocracy? We can also, hey, tell kids, hey, you should honor your teachers. You know, you shouldn't mistreat, disrespect your teachers because they're giving you a great opportunity. And also, how about you honor your parents? You honor your grandparents, you know, so we can have some good behavior in these schools and we can have respect for one another in our culture.
Before we run out of time, this question is for both of you. What is your platform? What do you want to see changed in the school district, and something that you'll be working hard to get changed if you're elected?
Well, one thing that's really important to both of us, mm-hmm. but especially me, is fiscal responsibility. I am a former stockbroker, okay. and mm-hmm. I have a small business right now. Yeah. I also have a degree in psychology. That doesn't necessarily relate to the fiscal responsibility, but we have a $280 million budget mm-hmm. in our schools. Wow. We should be better than any private school in the area. Mm-hmm. All of our public schools should be better than any private school in the area with such a large budget. Mm-hmm. So we're not properly utilizing it, and we should, because those funds need to go to our students, to our teachers, for the things we need. So fiscal responsibility, and then also increased academic standards. One thing in 2021, it really made me upset when they removed those advanced classes, because we need levels of learning for all of our students, mm-hmm. and it just harms everyone when we take that opportunity away. So higher academic standards, fiscal responsibility, and I am a big supporter of parental rights, especially what happened in 2020. Parents should be making the decisions. We should never have the schools step on our parental rights for medical reasons, for things that go on in our schools. We need to work together as a unit so that we can really make our schools the best they can be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my big three are fiscal responsibility. We're under a state audit right now mm-hmm. for the $79 million cost overrun on our new high school, Francis Howe North, which is really just a rebuild of a current high school. And then high academic achievement, kind of talked about earlier. And then, my big thing is we shouldn't be teaching the newest ideas of society to our kids. You know, instead the parents and the community is what should be having a say on what we tell them. And, we really, the schools should be reflecting our local community, our local values. We teach them what's along with our laws mm-hmm. and time-tested ideas. You know, you talked about, how can you be successful, right? Hard work. Mm-hmm. That's something. If you want to be successful, that's part of it.
Adriana, given your background, as you've dug into this, have you been surprised to learn how much money? Look, it's important to have buildings and classrooms and all that, but have you been surprised at all to learn how much money doesn't go into the classroom curriculum that should be taught inside the schools?
Yes, curriculum and materials too. And our teachers' salaries, one of the best indicators of success in schools is low class sizes. Right now, a lot of our classes are at 30 students per class. If we took money from elsewhere and actually put it in the classroom for additional teachers, that's going to benefit all students. So mm-hmm. I really want to see more of our money feet on the ground where we see real results immediately from it.
Mm-hmm. Websites?
Yeah, mine's at votesamyoung.com, and I'm on Facebook at Sam Young for Francis Howe School District.
And I am at VoteAdrianaKuhn.com and then on Facebook at Adriana Kuhn for Francis Howe School Board.
Fantastic. And folks, if you want a general overview of all the issues going on in the school district, you can simply go to FrancisHowellFamilies.org. That's FrancisHowellFamilies.org. Ken, thanks for bringing the gang in here. And Sam and Adriana, thank you for everything you're doing for our future leaders of tomorrow. So
thank
important.
You. Thank all you
right.
for having us.
Yeah. Vote April 2nd.
Yeah, yes. we'll let you guys get back on the doors. That's right. Vote Tuesday, April the 2nd. All right, we're going to head to our last break of the afternoon. When we come back, Chris will help us wrap things up. We'll tell you what's coming on with Larry Connors, Larry Connors USA at 6:05, and more. We'll be back right after this. The Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show rolls on at 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Vote next Tuesday, April 2.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
This bill helps ensure adult entertainment establishments are safe for workers.
Flanked by supporters of SB 6105, known as the Stripper's Bill of Rights, Governor Jay Inslee gave his approval with a stroke of his pen.
It's pretty simple why we're passing this bill. These are working folks. And working people deserve safety in the environment in which they work.
The legislation requires more protections for dancers and safety training for all staff, including security that works on site, something the bill's sponsor championed.
And that is really critical to make sure that people understand signs of trafficking, of how to do de-escalation, how to make sure that they are creating a safe workplace for everyone.
5:48 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. And apparently Washington, the state that had an overrun of intifada and burned down the cities, the strippers need a bill of rights there, Tim.
Top
apparently.
Of the ticket.
apparently they need more security. And, you know, it's been quite a while since I have entered a gentleman's club, but usually there was a whole lot of security there already. Big, beefy gentleman that if you got out of hand would show you the parking lot very quickly. So I don't understand the security aspect of it, but so, it's been a long, 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 long time since I've...
In case my mother's listening. So I've heard, Chris. So I've heard. Yeah.
There you go.
So, yeah, I love how he, well, how did he couch it in the beginning of that clip? He said something like, you know, this is an important measure for good, hard, working people. That's what we're calling
like
them now.
She's going down just working at the plant.
Yeah, neurophysicist. You
know,
yeah.
Exactly. Just going down to work, John, at 7-Eleven, you know, slipping hamburgers, Jackson beer.
Where is this, Chris? The state of Washington?
State of Washington.
Number one priority, if I guess, in a state that's just besieged by Intifada, as you said, Antifa, and probably Intifada too. Yeah. Antifa and other left-wing lunacy.
Exactly.
Yeah, great. Wonderful.
President Trump, unsurprisingly, Tim, has stirred up a little controversy yesterday. He went to Truth Social to urge his supporters to buy the, quote, God Bless the USA Bible. It's a $59.99 Bible inspired by country singer Lee Greenwood with the song Happy Holy Week. This is what the president wrote on Twitter. Happy Holy Week. Let's make America pray again. As we lead into Good Friday and Easter, I encourage you to get a copy of the God Bless the USA Bible.
Okay.
The $59.99, they say it does not go to his campaign or anything like that. I think it may go to charity. But, you know, of course, others, a lot of people who hate Donald Trump, have TDS is saying, and he's profiting off the Bible. Liz Cheney said that, you know, it's ironic that you're selling Bibles when you don't know the passage about adultery. So she had to get her clip in there, of course. You know, this is not the only item that the president has been selling, Tim. You know, remember he had those $399 high-top sneakers that sold out in a matter of hours. I think you've got a pair on order that are coming. He also has a $99 bottle of Victory 47 perfume and cologne. So I may get you that for Christmas, Tim.
What was that?
Some Victory 47.
What was that stuff on, what was that cologne they had on, it was Anchorman? It was like Sex Panther or something. It's like.
I didn't watch, I'm just not a big Will, I've said this many times, I'm not a Will Ferrell fan.
What's the quote about?
Something like it works 100% of the time, 50% of the time.
Right, right. 50% of the time, it works all the time or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, Chris, get me some of that for Christmas and I will.
I'll get you some Victory 47.
I bet it's nasty.
I bet you. I can't imagine. It probably smells like something from like Old Spice or like High Karate from back in the Avon days.
It reminds me of, remember the famous soccer player Beckham? Beckham.
Oh, yeah.
He came out with a whiskey a number of years ago, and the bottle looked really cool. Kind of looked like a giant cologne bottle. It was this blue bottle. It was really shiny. And we bought it on a lark one day. Like, let's check. It was horrible. It probably tasted like cologne. You know, it's like, yeah, a lot of times these stars or these popular figures, they come up with this great gimmick and it looks great. And then you try it out and you're like, nah, I'll stick with the name brands.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, the football season, NFL season just ended in February a couple of months ago, 6 weeks ago. But two major rule changes that are going to affect the season next year. One of them, I forgot the official name of it, Tim, but it's a particular tackle that you do.
Okay.
One example was the final tackle that the Rams player used against the Titans player to keep him from going into the Super Bowl back when the Rams won the Super Bowl. But it's a tackle where if the person is bigger than you or more powerful than you, what you do is you kind of grab them around their legs and you kind of fall.
Oh,
you fall down and that weight, your weight, while you're hanging on to your weight falling down makes them go down.
Okay.
And it's been a very, very popular tackle the last few years, but apparently the NFL, and there hasn't been a whole rush of injuries because of this tackle, but the NFL is going to outlaw that particular, tackle.
What do we do now? Please stop.
I guess. And one thing too, kickoffs, you know, only 22% of kickoffs in the NFL are returned. Well, that's going to change next year. The NFL is implementing an XFL style kickoff system.
Oh, yeah.
Here's how it works.
Okay.
I'm reading this. It says the kicking team's players will line up 25 yards away from the ball on their opponent's 40-yard line.
Okay.
Nine blockers on the returning team will line up between the 30 and 35-yard line. Two returners are allowed inside the 20-yard line. Only the kicker and two returners are allowed to move until the ball hits the ground or is touched by a returner. Fair catches aren't allowed.
Nope.
Any kick that lands between the 20-yard line and the end zone must be returned.
So they want more returns.
They want more returns. And basically, you know, I guess you would think that this takes away the whole surprise onside kick. You can only do the onside kick now in the fourth quarter. And you have to declare it that you're doing an onside kick. But, that's going to be, I mean, if you look at football the last few years when they made the rules with the kickoff, I mean, you know every single time that the person is either going to kick it outside it, you know, farther than the out of bounds and all of that. One of the rules that they were kicking around, which I thought was very, very interesting, that if during the kickoff you kick it through the upright, you get like a point.
Oh.
And I've seen players almost do that.
Yeah. You know, having a kickoff not return nearly 80% of the time is kind of boring in the NFL. So, you know, the XFL has become a very popular, fun league, so maybe this will help the NFL. It would be a lot more... kickoff returns are very exciting, right? Because you never know if the guy's going to get far enough to score or not. So I'm in favor of that, I think.
I mean, I understand the danger in the kickoff. I remember they showed an old film. They outlawed it, but they used to have a technique called the wedge, where all of the guys would just run down in like a wedge, and that was set up for the runner.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would have one guy, he would be called the wedge breaker, and he would be the person that would just run as fast and as hard as he can into the wedge to try to break it. That was his only job. And Tim, they were showing like videos of guys that were the wedge breakers after they would do that. I mean, they'd be walking around like they've been boxing, like they were drunk, just didn't even know where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And that was basically their entire job, is just go out on special teams during the kickoffs, run down the field as fast as you can, run into these players, and thank you, son. We'll see you next play.
I can't imagine what it must feel like to run into a 300-pounder at full speed, but it must not feel good.
It's amazing. You know, we were watching the NFL tryouts a couple weeks ago. I was watching that one Saturday, and I'm still amazed to see men that are 6'5", 350, 360 pounds were running like 5'0", 4'99", 40s. That's just scary. And they're not like, you know, they've got kind of like guts. They're not like in super shape like you and I.
But they got muscles.
They got muscles. Yeah. Exactly, exactly. Well, Tim, as you said, this is my Friday. I am off Thursday and Friday. I kind of hate that I'm not going to be here tomorrow because Steve Bucci, our military expert, is on. And there's a lot of things that are going on in the military. But I know you enjoy. We'll have the show in hand.
We will. I know we're going to talk to Steve Bucci tomorrow. I think we're speaking with Dr. Bob Onder tomorrow, and I think we got some great guests lined up for Good Friday as well. Chris, you travel safe and well. You and Becky have an awesome time.
We will. Yeah. Hey,
happy Easter.
A happy Easter to you and all of you out there that are listening. Stay tuned to News Talk STL. We've got Larry Connors USA from 6 to 8. He's going to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene says, don't blame me, her, if Jeffrey becomes House Leader. Happiness in MSNBC Mudville after Ron McDaniel was fired. And Trump is selling Bibles and instantly mocked. That's Larry Connors USA. Up next, you are listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Drive safe.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.